Okay, Exodus 20 defines for us something concerning the Sabbath. And it is the longest commandment that there is in the Ten Commandments. No, it isn't. It's the second longest. The longest one actually is the one about idolatry. But it's only a matter of a word or two difference. Okay, verse 8, he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We find in Deuteronomy 5, it says, keep the Sabbath. Okay? So not only are you to observe the Sabbath day, you are to keep it holy. Why? Because God made it holy. Now the Sabbath contains in it many, many different things. We'll see right here. It says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. And we'll see several places where it says, 6 days shall you labor. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your maidservant, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, one thing God has upheld, and we won't necessarily go back and prove it, but one thing God has always upheld has been that the seventh day of the week is the seventh day of the week, and no one has ever lost the fact that it's the seventh day of the week except those who want to lose it. So therefore, God has never made it impossible to keep the Sabbath day. That's why he kept it that way, so that no one could say, well, Lord, how could I remember something that I didn't know? See, so God made it so that we all know. Now, let's go back to chapter 16. Here's where God revealed through the miracle of the manna and the gathering of the manna, he revealed the Sabbath day. But what I want to do is impress upon our minds the fact of the first sin. Now let's pick it up here in verse 27. They were told, don't go out there. And they were told, don't gather. There will be no manna. And it came to pass, verse 27, that there went some of the people out on the seventh day to gather and found none. Now notice, God say, he said to Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for there the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he has given you the sixth day bread, given you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath day. So the people rested on the Sabbath day. God was right there with them. Want to emphasize that again. What is the most important thing for us in keeping the Sabbath? We know it's in the law. We know that God has created it. We know that God has sanctified it. We know that God has blessed it. But what is the most important thing for us? Well, we'll see here. Let's go on. Let's go to chapter 23 and verse 12. Chapter 23 and verse 12. 6 days shall you do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that you, your ox rather, your ass may rest, the son of your handmaid, the stranger that may be refreshed. For in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. Okay? Wherever he brings up the Sabbath, he normally brings up concerning 6 days you shall work. That doesn't mean that as soon as the sun goes down on the Sabbath, you have to start working immediately. That 6 days is when you do everything that you do. Okay? Now, let's go to chapter 31. When we come to chapter 31, I want to enunciate a principle that is true, which is this. We know what Jesus said when he was asked, which is the great commandment? Anyone tell me what is the great commandment? Okay, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and being. And the commandment like unto it is? Love your neighbor as yourself. And what? On this hangs all the law and the prophets. Now, there's another principle I'm going to enumerate before we begin reading verse 13. And that is this. You take every one of the commandments, and instead of reading them in a ladder-like sequence as they are in the verses, sort of spread them out in a long way. And under the Ten Commandments hangs all of the other commandments relating to the Ten. Because you will hear someone say, well, the Ten Commandments say you ought to keep the Sabbath, but it doesn't say anything about the holy days. And this is virtually Church of God Seventh-day approach. Now, if, you ask them, the holy days were in the Ten Commandments, would you keep them? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Now you got them. See, if you have to ever argue with anyone. Now you've got them by their own logic. How? Let's talk about one of the other commandments. You ask them then, do you believe in the commandment which says you shall not commit adultery? Oh, yes, I firmly believe that. That commandment says nothing about homosexuality. That commandment says nothing about some of the other perversions of mankind. Do you think that those other perversions of mankind have to do with the sex commandment, you shall not commit adultery? Oh, yes, I firmly believe it. And then you could take Leviticus 18, Leviticus 22, and bring those in about you shall not approach to, you know, all that sort of thing. Now you got them concerning the holy days. Because, just as these other laws governing sex, which are not contained in the Ten Commandments, are a subdivision of the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, so are the holy days a sub-commandment under the Sabbath, which are also Sabbaths, which are other days to be kept. You could do that with every one of the commandments. You could do it with the one, make no graven image. You could go through and show that includes pictures, that includes icons, that includes even idols in your own mind when you get down to the heart. We've covered that before. You could do that with taking the name of God in vain. Not only should you not write God's name in vain, not speak God's name in vain, you can filter that on down to filthy language and things like that. Same way with stealing. There are different degrees of stealing which are listed in there. Those are all sub-commandments of the Ten Commandments. So when we come to Exodus 31 and verse 13, where Moses said, speak also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep. That's plural. Not just, verily, my Sabbath you shall keep. Now here's where it becomes confusing. For it. Now, how can you have it referring back to a plural word? The it does not refer to the Sabbaths. The it refers to the keeping of. The keeping of the Sabbaths, it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. So we can write down all the benefits. God has blessed it. God has sanctified it. First of all, God has created it, blessed it, sanctified it. He has rested in it. And it shows that we know God, and it shows we know that God sanctifies us. So there's another sub-sanctification. Not only is God sanctified it, but God sanctifies us. Now we're starting to get into some of the meaning of the Sabbath. I won't go through the rest of it. It talks about 6 days working and so forth again a little later. Now let's go to Leviticus 23. Just stop by there for just a minute. You know this one. We've kept the holy days so many times and so forth, so I'm not going to belabor the point in this because we're talking about things that we do know. Okay. Verse 23, chapter 23, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, say to them concerning the feast of the Lord. So we also know that the Sabbath is also a feast. But what kind of feast is the best feast? Anybody? Spiritual feast, yes. Now we're getting in more on the purpose of the Sabbath, you see. Not only is it things we should not do, but what are some of the things that we should do? If there are certain things you shouldn't do, that precludes the fact that if you shouldn't do this, then you ought to do something else. Okay? So they're the feast of God, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast, and 6 days work be done, seventh, the Sabbath of rest, holy convocation, you shall do no work therein, it's the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And then these are holy convocations which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Exactly the same thing, the same word used back in Genesis 1 and verse 14. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 20. I just wanted to stop there from the point of view that in covering the things concerning the Sabbath, that I wanted to bring out that principle that the holy days are a subcategory of the Sabbath, and Leviticus 23 proves it. By the way, Leviticus 23 starts out. Now let's go to Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Ezekiel 20. Okay. I'm going to, what I want you to do is go ahead and read the whole chapter here. I'm not going to do it on the tape for the sake of time, but read the whole chapter where the elders of Israel came to Ezekiel and say, we want to inquire the Lord, and sat before him. So God answers and said, now what have you come to inquire to me for? He says, as I live, I will not be inquired by you. And then he goes on showing, look, I did all of this. I brought you out of Egypt. I took you when you're in polluted state and was kind and gracious to you. I brought you forth out of Egypt. In verse 11, let's read that. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, even he shall live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, plural, to be a sign between me and them, that they may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify them. So there it is, you know God. God created it, God blessed it, God sanctified it, God rested on it. God says we are to keep it, and it is a feast. Okay, he gave them the Sabbath. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness, walked not in my statutes, etc., etc., etc. Then he says, verse 16, because they despised my statutes and walked not in my judgments, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. And we can read in the book of Amos where that they had their own secret gods all the way through during the wilderness. It was terrible. So then he said to the children in the wilderness, don't walk in the statutes of your fathers, verse 18, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me and polluted my Sabbaths. I tell you, it's an onward, always onward-going struggle from generation to generation, isn't it? It sure is. And all the way through here. So God turned them over to their own devices. God let them have what they wanted. The worst thing in the world ever happened to anyone is God just turn you over to your own devices and say, I wash my hands of you, I reject you, I kick you out, I despise you, and I don't want to even hear about you, think about you, or talk to you anymore at all whatsoever until you repent totally. Now, that's a terrible condition to be in, but unfortunately, some people get themselves in that condition. Children of Israel did. Okay, let's go to chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 8. You have despised my holy things and have profaned my Sabbaths. Again, very, very strong language. Verse 13, behold, therefore, I have smitten my hand at your dishonest gain which you have made, and at the blood which has been in the midst of you. Sounds like our ethics today, Washington, D.C., etc., etc., right? Okay. Can your heart endure, or can your hands be strong in the day when I shall deal with you? I mean, who wants to fight against God? Woo. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. I will scatter you among the heathen and disperse you in the countries and will consume your filthiness out of you. Now, let's go to verse 25. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening to prey. Sounds like the TV evangelist, doesn't it? Not all of them are bad, but a good number of them have proved that way. They devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, and have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law. Those who are supposed to teach the law in the way of God, they haven't. Have profaned my holy things, have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Now that's some strong language. And I tell you, that book of Ezekiel is so strong. You read the book of Ezekiel and read it and think about it and let the word sink deep in. And boy, by the time you get to about the 10th chapter, you can hardly breathe. It is tough. And when you read it, just kind of picture yourself having to go through what these people are going to be put through. It is tough. Okay? Here, verse 31. Let's just go to the last verse here in verse 31. Therefore, I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own ways I have recompensed upon their head, says the Lord God. Whew! All right, let's go on. Let's go to the New Testament here. Suffice to say that God upheld Sabbath keeping, punished Sabbath breaking all the way through the Old Testament as we know it. Now let's go to the New Testament, Book of Mark, chapter 2, and you probably know exactly where I'm going to turn because this is one of the most basic scriptures concerning the Sabbath. Can anyone tell me what it is before we get there? Verse 27, that's correct. And he, Jesus, said unto them, the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now, this tells us some very important things. The Sabbath was made for man. In other words, man needs the Sabbath. And what is the worst thing in the world to happen to a person? Be separated from God. That's absolutely correct. And that is the key concerning the Sabbath. That's why the Sabbath was made for man, that man may be what? In contact with his Creator always. That's what this verse is telling us. And who is the Lord of the Sabbath? Jesus is. So that is the Lord's day. So this phoniness of Sunday is the Lord's day is a bunch of nonsense. Never was, isn't going to be, never shall be. Okay? The Lord's day is the Sabbath. And therefore, he shows what's to be done on the Sabbath. We go back to chapter 4, the book of Luke, and here's another very basic scripture, and most of these you may even have keyed in, and you may, if you're taking notes, you may want to stop taking notes and just key in your margin these things one to another if you don't have them in there yet. Okay? Luke 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, and proudly said, "Y'all dumb bunnies sitting here in this synagogue on the Sabbath, I'm telling you, I'm going to change it to Sunday. See you here tomorrow," rolled up the scroll and walked out. No, that isn't what it said. Protestant would love it to say that, but it doesn't. No, he did what? He read concerning the prophecy of the Messiah of which he was and what he was going to do, and he did it on the Sabbath day, which is a day of what? A day of rest. And what did he preach? Spiritual rest. So you might want to get the book by Samuel Bacciocci, is the way that would be pronounced in Italian. In English, we call it Bacciocci, and I think Rebecca has the address, but he has one, The Sabbath Rest for the Modern Man. I think that's what it is. It's a very good one. I don't have the book, but I have seen it, so I can recommend it. I might send off for it. But you see, here's a spiritual rest. He preached, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," verse 18, "because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So he preached the entire meaning of the Sabbath right there, and the entire meaning of his ministry. Okay, just go across the page to verse 4. "Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." As he answered the devil's argument concerning what the devil was trying to make Jesus do. Would that also not apply to the Sabbath day? I would have to say yes. Now, let's quickly go through some of these other scriptures here in the book of Acts. And we will go very quickly because there's some other things that I want to cover. Again, you might want to key these scriptures. Acts 13 and verse 14. And while you're turning to Acts 13, let me say that the book of Acts, the book of Luke and the book of Acts was designed to show how the gospel started out to the Jew first and then went to the Gentile as the Jews rejected the message of God. And so here's part of it here. Wherever they went to the Jews first. Acts 13 and verse 14. "And when they departed from Perga, they came unto Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." Then you know the rest of it. They saw Paul after reading the prophets and the law. Rulers of the synagogue said, "You men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Open invitation. Paul to preach, so he let him have it. And boy, he turned that synagogue into an uproar. Okay, let's go down here to verse 38. "Be it known to you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and that by him all that believe are justified from everything from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Gnash, gnash, grind, grind, boy, tell you. He said, "Beware, therefore, lest it come upon you which is spoken of by the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it to you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Now, if anyone asks you about the Sabbath, what you can do is this. Here's a perfect opportunity for Paul to say, "Everybody, why wait till next week? Wouldn't it be important to let them know, especially the Gentiles, that they're to do it on Sunday? Perfect opportunity to say, why wait a week? Come back tomorrow. Didn't do it. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Here's another key important thing, verse 43 and verse 44, is that Sabbath keeping and grace go hand in hand. They should continue in the grace. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Of course, they had a big fight on their hands. I wouldn't want to preach the way the Apostle Paul preached. He had it tough. Chapter 16 and verse 13. Just make note of it and pass on that that's where they went down on the Sabbath day, where there was not a synagogue. So you can't say that Paul everywhere went where there was only a synagogue. There was no synagogue here. So he went down by the river where they knew that prayer was to be made. And sat down, spoke to women which resorted there. Okay? Chapter 17 and verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days and reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Christ. And so he did it on the Sabbath day. We go to chapter 18. Chapter 18, he came to Corinth. He went into the synagogue, verse 4, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Gentiles. And then the whole thing had a big uproar again. The synagogue split, so the problem of splitting churches is nothing new. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord, verse 8, with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And then the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not your peace, for I am with you, and no man shall set on you to hurt you, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months. Key thing is, which day do you think he was keeping and preaching the year and 6 months? Obviously the Sabbath, and there were a lot of Gentiles, there were some Jews, etc. Okay, now let's jump clear over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 9. Hebrews 4 and verse 9. And it says in verse 9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, the word rest comes from the Greek. Let me get my interlinear. Okay. There remains a sabbatism. I'm reading the English out of the interlinear, but the word is sabbatismos. Now, that means a keeping of the Sabbath. Sabbatismos is a Greek word which means a keeping of the Sabbath. Now, what is also unusual about this, it is also a word that is called in its category a hapax legomenon, which means it is only used once in the New Testament. Only usage is once. Okay? Now, it doesn't say for Israel, it does not say for the Jews, it says for the people of God. And the reason that there's a Sabbath keeping for the people of God is because, I'll just summarize it, the first part of the verse of the chapter tells us about the rest. Let's go back to verse 7 and pick it up right there. Again, he limited a certain day. Every time they had a revival, they had to be shown which day was the seventh day. So God limited a certain day. What is the only day that God has limited? The Sabbath day and the holy days. Okay? In David saying, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And this goes back to Psalm 95, which is a Sabbath psalm. And what do people harden their hearts over quicker than anything else? The Sabbath. If you harden not your heart, okay? For if, and it says Jesus in the King James, if you have another more modern translation, the New International Version, I think, is a little more accurate here in this point. It says, for if Joshua had given them rest, that is, the entering into the rest of the millennium, he would not have afterwards have spoken of another day. There therefore remains a sabbatismos for the people of God, and that is toleo toutheu, that is the people of God, belonging to God. That is to this day. Okay? Now, let's go back and look at a couple of other principles, and then we will answer the question as to what is the most important thing in keeping the Sabbath for us who know to keep it. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah 56. Now, I've tried to bring this in the way not only of the way of review, so some of the things that were just pure, because no use belaboring the point on it, but also wanted to put it in such a way that we will learn something new concerning the Sabbath, or at least reinforce something that will refresh our minds in a new way, and also to have it in such a way that if someone asks you about the Sabbath, you can take the last part of this of the sermon where we started with Genesis, the second chapter, you can take that and go forward with it and just chain those scriptures and use those to show about Sabbath keeping. Now when we come to the end time, to say, well, we're living in the end time and it's a little different than it was then, you know, you go to Isaiah 56. Okay? Thus says the Lord, keep you judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come. Aha, we're at the end time, right? And my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this, and the son of man that lays hold on this, that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Now we have a time setting, time of the end. You might want a key right here, which we will do, Matthew 24. Let me put this on pause for a second here. And verse 20. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now that's end time too, isn't it? Okay, so we have Matthew 24 and verse 20. Now we're tying the end time in together about Sabbath keeping. Okay? If the Sabbath didn't matter for a Christian, why bother? Right? Why say, don't flee on the Sabbath? Why? Because you're doing something you ought not do on the Sabbath. Because that's not going to keep it holy. Okay? Now, what about the Gentiles? Let's go down to verse 6. Also, the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that is keeping the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant. So this shows very clearly that it is also for Gentiles. See, because the Sabbath doesn't belong to the Jew, it belongs to God. The Sabbath just was not made just for the Jew, it was made for all mankind, which includes anybody on earth, period. Okay? Now, you can get real strong at that point if you want to. Okay? Chapter 58. Hey, we're going to make it on time here. Chapter 58. Chapter 58 and verse 13. Again, I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It shows the biggest sins that they have are their religious sins and their own religious things, which ties in to trying to do God's will in the way that you see and perceive it rather than do it the way that God sees and perceives it. Many people like to claim God to what they're doing as they see and perceive it. Like Belinda brought up, this one woman said, well, this one lesbian on what was it, the Donahue show, she said, well, I believe in a supreme being, but I believe in a loving God, not one who will punish. See? That's your own view of God, see. And that's what he's getting at him right here. Says they seek him daily, they fast, they do all these things, fast for strife. It sounds like the Democratic Convention, which is going to start on Monday. Nevertheless, let's go down to verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and it's holy because God made it holy and puts his presence in it, and call the Sabbath a delight, now we're talking about attitude, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure. Now, ways here is business. Finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Now hold your place right here, and let's go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Today they call it self-esteem, right? Have to have self-esteem. It's more like self-steam. You're puffed up. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Yeah, just like this mother now, she wants her baby back, but she had it back there in the restroom and stuffed it under the counter in the restroom on an airplane and left it alone there for 6 hours. Without natural affection? Hey, yay. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, these first five verses in 2 Timothy 3 fit perfectly with Isaiah 58, the entire chapter. Okay? That's why you should key them together. Okay? Now notice, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, back now Isaiah 58 and verse 13, nor speaking your own words. What words do you speak then? The words of God. Then you, well, does that mean in fellowship that you don't talk about your own lives and the things that you do? Of course not. I mean, with fellowshipping with each other, you're not going to stand around and quote scripture back and forth, you know, like a recording. But you can certainly tell of your experiences with God and the things that you have learned and, you know, things like that. And that's all not your words, because you're walking in the way of God. Okay? Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Now notice, the delight comes after you finally come to the attitude that God means what he says what he means, and that the Sabbath is not only a good idea but a tremendous blessing and a wonderful thing to do. Then you'll delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Okay? Now, let's answer the first question. What is the most important thing concerning the Sabbath? Okay, the Sabbath is holy. Correct? Yes. What are the brethren? Holy brethren. Why? Because they have the Spirit of God. Now, let's go to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter, and we are going to see the most important thing concerning the Sabbath. Now, I read a little booklet put out by the Sabbath Association, which was a nice booklet concerning the Sabbath, and I thought they had 6 points concerning the Sabbath, unfortunately. Rather not the greatest choice of numbers, but that's okay. 6 are better than none. But I thought the 7th should have been added, which is the most important one as to why. They went through and showed it's in the law. Jesus kept it. Paul kept it. Never been done away with. Time has never been lost. 6 points. That's fine. Wonderful. What's the most important thing concerning the Sabbath? It is that we have fellowship with God. That's why. That's why. That is the most important thing. And fellowship with each other. What's the fellowship? Is the fellowship that God has brought together, which is different than out in the world. Okay? Now let's pick it up here in verse 1 and come down through verse 4. That which was from the beginning, which is Jesus then, not only the beginning of creation, but the beginning of the gospel, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Now, John was the only living apostle that could say that handled the word of life. I mean, that's something to think on. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. See, now, we want to change the emphasis of what the world does. The emphasis of what the world does is have self-esteem and all of this groupiness together. Okay? God is saying, first love God, and then love your neighbor as yourself, but you can't do that until you have fellowship first with God. Then the fellowship we have together ought to be great, and it is. We've had great fellowship. I mean, really good. Okay? And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's the main thing concerning the Sabbath. And believe me, there is, and I don't know if you've noticed it on the Sabbath. I do. I notice it on the Sabbath versus any other day of studying or versus any other day of reading the Bible or any other thing, that with God's Spirit, there is an extra something special with the Sabbath that is not there on any other day. It just is not. And there's a fellowship and a warmth with each other that is special on the Sabbath day. Why? Because God has put His blessing in the Sabbath day. God has put His presence in the Sabbath day. And it is for us with that benefit and blessing. And that is the reason that we keep the Sabbath day. That's fantastic.